It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
From the Labatt Blue Studio, it's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number two is brought to you by GoPSURV.com for the ultimate tailgating experience in Happy Valley. There is still time for your buy one, get one for the first two games of the season, but you got to do it quick. Ends end of June. You buy one RV, you get a second one for the same game. Double the family, double the friends. Double the fun. How was that?
I wasn't sure where you were going with that, but good.
Yeah, just like call it a BOGO. First two games against Buffalo and Idaho. Well, Idaho and Buffalo in that order. They're BOGOs. Right. Buy one, get one free.
Buy one, get one BOGOs. Free. It's All a right. lot of fun.
All right.
What you do, you just call Mark today. You get more details. 800-519-8467. I'm Jim. I'm here with Bob and Andy. And in quarter number one, we were asking the question, glass half full, glass half empty.
Mm-hmm.
And if I understand the two of you correctly, we're talking recruiting, direction of the program, and they just need a couple wins against the big programs that they haven't been getting recently.
Yes.
Okay. Ohio State, Michigan.
Michigan State too.
Michigan State.
Those three.
Maybe even specifically Michigan State because they should win those games. So my thinking is James Franklin needs a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
And who better in the world to help him out than Andrew Pichet and Bobby Flounders?
Yeah.
So what I'm asking you is, what would you like to see this season in terms of, if you had that time with James Franklin, moment of truth, James said, man, Bobby, I need your help.
Yeah.
And just as an example, I'm going to use a simple one, one of my pet peeves. Stop directional kicking and kicking out of bounds. Just boom it out of the end zone, okay? That's one of the things I would whisper in his ear.
Yeah.
Let's start with you, Bob.
Okay.
You got James Franklin's ear. What are you going to tell him?
This is what I would say. I think you guys have heard what I've heard. There's been times, and a lot of it was when Joe Moorhead coached the offense, there's been times where James has been emphatic that the ball goes to the open man, whether it's in the run or in the pass. In Saquon Barkley's last year, even though it probably benefited him, I think a lot of people would say there were games, especially in the second half of the season, where he didn't necessarily get the ball enough.
No.
You know, he was magnificent in that game at Iowa where he caught, I think, a dozen passes. He ran for 200 yards. I don't know that we'll see a game like that from a Penn State running back anytime soon on the road against a good defense. And they just rode him until the final play of the game when Trace and Juwan Johnson hooked up for that remarkable touchdown on fourth down. But, you know, we would ask James about, you know, why wasn't Barkley, and we would do it, you know, down, why isn't so-and-so, why don't you do this, how come they're not more involved? So for me, if I was in James' ear, I would say to him two things. You make sure that KJ Hamler gets the ball close to double digits, whether as a runner, as a receiver, even in the return game. And also, I would say, if he's healthy, you make that opposing team account for Justin Shorter on every pass play, and you get him the ball as well. I just think they've done a really good job of recruiting the last couple of years, and they have some game-changing players on offense at the skill position. And I don't want to see another game like the Kentucky game where KJ Hamler got the ball twice, and I think he totaled 50 yards, and they lost by by four?
Four.
I think my thing is that they have to commit to their best players being involved on the offense, in the offense, especially in the big games, and I don't think they've necessarily done that.
Well, and you two are probably old enough. Do you remember John McKay, who coached USC?
I know the story you're going to say. I'll let you tell it.
He always had the great tailbacks. He'd give them the ball like 40 times, and they asked him about it. You know, isn't the tailback going to get tired? Why? The ball's not that heavy. So that's what I'm thinking.
Charles
when you
White,
said about getting the ball.
I just think it doesn't make any sense to me. And if that's their offense, then they need to tweak their offense to make sure that those guys are involved.
And that was on the top of my list too. Got to get the ball to KJ Hamler, don't you, Andy?
Well, I had something similar regarding the wide receivers, but I think there is some depth and talent at that position for this team. In my mind, they have some first-team All-Big Ten talent. Do they not?
Yes, I do.
They do.
I would say they have several players who could actually – I think two for sure, and I think there could be more.
So figure out how to make one of your many receivers, Coach, a first-team All-Big Ten selection. Just figure that out. I don't care which one it is. You've got a depth and breadth of talent in this offense to do it. That was one of mine. I'll give you one of mine that is not piggybacking.
Love it.
On Bob. I know your offense, Coach. I know how your offense functions really well. I know the value of the running back position in your offense. I want two of your running backs to have 750 or more all-purpose yards a season. In other words, figure out how to use the four or three or five or whatever you got. Figure out how to use two of them both ways, run game and pass game, all-purpose total yards, not just running the ball. Total yards, a couple of them with 750 or more yards this season. That's how your offense functions best to open everything else up, is when your quarterback is looking downfield and finding guys wide open. Two, take what the defense is giving them, and it starts with your running backs, using them both ways, run game, pass game, 750 yards.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. For the ultimate RV experience, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467. So instead of the one workhorse back, you say there's got to be two of them. Which two?
Remember, I don't care.
You're talking to James Franklin.
I'm telling him, James.
Which two?
I'm saying it's probably Devin.
Yeah. Somewhere Ross is smiling as you said Devin Ford's name.
I think the second one's Devin Ford because I think Noah Kane's going to have a more specific role. He could be a 4-5. He's your touchdown guy, right? And Ricky Slade. I'm going to go Devin Ford and Ricky Slade. I think Noah Kane still has a role. I think it's a three-back thing is better, but I think you get inside the 10 instead of Trey scoring 12 or 13 touchdowns, you give it to that hammer and let that kid move some earth.
Just remember, they're not replacing 1,200 yards on the ground. They're replacing 2,000.
2,000.
Because it's Trace with 800, and it's Miles with 1,200. They're replacing 2,000 yards on the ground.
Well, what kind of related to that, I had on my list, and with Sean Clifford, the presumed incumbent, or taking over, I said, how about a little more of the vertical passing game? Now, I know they always have an option where to go, and they hit what's open, and maybe this is what you were alluding to, Bob, when you're talking about making Justin Shorter a threat, but there's such a difference in this offense, and I think Sean Clifford can perform really well throwing a deep ball.
5 of 7 for 195 yards and 2 touchdowns last year, and the one drop that killed me is he threw a ball 50 yards in the air in that bowl game, and DeAndre Tompkins, he threw it right in his hands,
right.
And DeAndre Tompkins dropped it, or he'd be 6 for 7 for about 260 yards and 3 touchdowns. This guy is an arm talent.
Yep.
I think that he might... So Christian Hackenberg might have had a stronger arm, but this guy, I think, is going to be Penn State's most talented pure passer by the time he's done since James Franklin's been there.
I'm piggybacking on that. I'm saying, hey, Coach, make sure your number one quarterback, and I'm assuming it's Sean Clifford, has a 65% completion percentage. Yeah. That's what I'd like to see because it means two things. One, he is that arm talent. He's good throwing it 12 yards as he is throwing it 38 yards down the field. He can drop it on a dime in all three zones, whether it's short, medium, or deep. That is one of his great strengths. It also means that your dudes are not dropping the ball. All right, so figure out how to make your dudes that are supposed to catch the ball catch it. If Clifford, it's not going to be Clifford's fault if his completion percentage is hovering around 54%. I really don't believe that. I don't think you're going to say, well, Clifford might be struggling a little bit. If he's down below 65, if he's in the 59 or 58, it's because dudes are dropping the ball.
And I think we've talked enough about the offense.
Yeah.
I would say on the defensive side, and there's been a lot of talk about the talent this defense has and the fact that with their speed and some of their experience and just some of their athleticism, that it could be in contention for the top defense in the Big Ten and also one of the top defenses in the country. The one thing that's – there's two things that's missing from Penn State on defense. It's turnovers from the secondary, intercepting passes. The other thing, though, is the linebackers have to be more disruptive in the run game. So it's not enough to make 80 or 90 tackles. When you look at the tackles for loss, there are not many there. And I think you need to see that group if they want to stop the run. There's not a lot of negative plays coming from that group. Etor Gross Matos can't be the guy with all the tackles for loss.
I'm going with put your defensive backs on offense and start working them more diligently day to day, week to week, in tip drill and pass catching drills. I'm not seeing any swipers. I'm not seeing any ball thieves. And you're not seeing a lot of ball hawking out of Penn State secondary. Get them more comfortable hawking the ball and, you know, less drops and more, you know, another phase of that is I'd like to see them with the defensive talent that they have, the length and speed that they have. I'd like to see a little more push up the middle and a tip or two. You know what I mean? Tip balls. Penn State rarely tips the ball at the line of scrimmage. And with the quarterbacks in the Big Ten.
In this day and age, it can be a little bit tougher hard with the way that the ball's getting out. But you're right. The quarterback play for most of the Big Ten quarterbacks, I would not say is above average. It might just be average. So there are opportunities within every game for Penn State's defense to make some disruptive or game-changing plays. Amani O dropped the interception in the Michigan State game. I mean, it seems we keep forgetting about the games that they've lost because they could have made a play to win the game.
Hey, Coach, I got one thing. Last thing for you, Coach, please. Make sure your special teams is not contributing to any loss. And I mean by contributing, I mean like major, like different things you can point out that we can sit and talk about on a Monday quarterback where you're like, well, special teams was X, Y, and Z helped contribute to what happens. Just, I'm not saying they have to be a strength, just not a major contributor to your losses.
All right. I just want to add one point to, I'd love to create more turnovers. I'm not sure exactly how you tell Amani O, don't drop the interception.
That's right.
Other than don't drop it. But I think with all that team speed, use that team speed, put more pressure on the quarterback, and guess what happens after that? More turnovers. So that's what I would like to see on defense. Let's bring some of those speedsters. Let's go hit a quarterback. All right, that's it for quarter number two. Get ready, quarter number three. It's Ask Andy and Bob.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.